I have a testimony that it's different now. Sometimes we have people come and visit at our house, and in our bedroom is a picture of Lorne and me when we got married. Sometimes the young people will say, "Is that you?" Well, that was me, but it's different now. I certainly appreciate all that God has put in my life. As people stand at an altar to take those vows, little do they know what's down the road. But God is down the road. He knows what to put into our lives to help us to turn to Him and be saved. And even though it took me many years, I was in my 30s before I ever really gave my heart and life to Him, never to go back again. But it's been worth it. We desire your prayers for the thought this morning. It's probably very different from anything I've ever had before. I'm not even sure how to give it. So I'm depending on the Lord to help us. But I want to start with two verses. One is in Romans 15 and 4. And it says, "Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." And the second scripture that goes along with that one is 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, and it says, "Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition," or our instruction is one of the other words for admonition. So this morning, as we proceed with the thoughts that the Lord has given, I want to give you another word, and that word is glean. And in order to glean something, we're really just gathering, this is what it means, gathering bit by bit. And so the thoughts that are going to be given, maybe it won't be until the end that you'll be able to glean something from it that will be for you. But I believe that the Lord has something for each one of us this morning. Yes. We're going to be looking at several chapters of Genesis. Chapters 25 and 27 and 32 and 33. We're not going to be reading all of those, so we're going to just try to tell the story, because we're all really familiar with the story. But we want to remind us this morning that these things were written for our learning, and that these things happened to these individuals as an example to give us instructions. So that's the purpose. We read those two verses first. Keep it in your mind. There's some learning and there's some instructions that the Lord wants you and me to get from this account. Now, we know that this is the beginning with Isaac and Rebekah. We're not going to go into their coming together at all, but we're going to talk about the birth of their twin sons. And of course, we all know their names were Esau and Jacob. And the prophecy, even before the children were born, said that they were two manner of people. And they were like two different nations. One would be stronger than the other. And it said that the elder would serve the younger. So that was prophesied before they were born. God said those words to Rebekah that the older one would serve the younger one, the first one that was born. Now, these were not identical twins. These were called fraternal twins. They were two completely different people. They did not look alike. One was red and hairy, And it says that the that Jacob was not hairy, that he was a smooth-skinned man. And so they not only had differences in appearance, but they also had very different personalities. They were two distinctive, different individuals. Now, the scripture tells us that the father loved Esau, and the mother loved Jacob. And that created a situation in that family. And it was actually something that started even before, in the generation before, in the father's generation, where there was Ishmael and Jacob and Isaac. You had some favoritism and partiality, and that thing went down to that generation. And if you study the word of the Lord, you'll find that it even followed Jacob into his children, because he favored Joseph above the older brothers. It created a situation that God had to use in order to work his plan in bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt at some time in the future. But nonetheless, we always want to keep in mind that children are affected by these kind of things. The parents being very partial, one to one and one to the other, it had an impact on their attitude toward each other. They resented each other. Now, it doesn't say that in the Bible, but we can read between the lines and sort of figure it out, that these two brothers were not on the same page, you might say. They didn't really have a love for each other. And one way that that was demonstrated is when Esau was out hunting. He came in, he was famished, and any normal, loving brother would have gladly said, "Oh, brother, just lay down here. I'll take care of you. I'll go fix you a meal." But that was not the case. Jacob's personality was he wanted to think of number one. He wanted to think of himself. He did not think of his brother and care for his brother. And possibly that all happened because the parents showed partiality. So that scene worked like this. Esau came in. He says, "I'm about to die." Well, we know he wasn't really about to die. Someone can go a long time without food and even water for a length of time and not die. But this was a young man that had probably been pampered by his father. And he just probably was given, have you ever been around people that when they're hungry and they want it right now? I've been around people like that. I mean, if they don't get their food right on time, you know, they're very unhappy. Well, that's probably how Esau was. So here I am, I'm about to die. Give me your food that you have cooked right now. And Jacob, because his personality was one of being selfish, he said, "Okay, I'll give you food, but you have to sell me something. You have to give me your birthright." See, the birthright was only for the oldest child. And it was the greatest portion of all of the inheritance. Always went to the firstborn. Is that fair? That was the law. That was how they lived. And Jacob knew that. And he wanted it. And so he pressed him. He would not give him anything to eat or drink until he said, "Okay, I sell it. What good is my birthright?" This is how Esau thought. "What good is my birthright if I'm dead anyway?" And so he sold his birthright for just a mess of pottage or food. And he lived. And he went out. And he probably thought, "I'll get it anyway. I am still the firstborn, and I will still get the birthright." But time went on. The father became very old. Now, he too thought he was going to die. And so he called his son in, his favored son. And he said, I want to bless you before I die. And he said, son, I want you to go out and I want you to kill the venison and I want you to come in and make me that savory meat that I love so much. The mother, Rebecca, was in a place that she overheard that. And she favored her son, Jacob. So Esau went out to take care of the hunt. You see, he was a cunning hunter, the scripture says. He was good at it. He was a man of the field. That was the difference in the two of the brothers. Jacob was not a hunter. He was not a man of the field. He was a plainman. He lived in tents. He stayed in one place most of the time, you might say. So Rebekah said to her son, I want you to have the blessing. I want you to go and kill a calf. Because he said, well, my brother is a hairy man and I am a smooth-skinned man. He will know that I am deceiving him. No, we're going to take care of that, she said. And so they took the hair from an animal and put it upon his arms. She cooked the meal that she knew her husband would really savor and love. And he went in. And even then his father said, this does not sound like my son Esau. But he was convinced and he was deceived by their trickery. And so he bestowed the whole blessing on Jacob. And Jacob was not gone from that his presence, but a very short moment, you might say. And then in comes Esau. And Esau says, Father, I'm here to receive my blessing. And he said, who is this? He said, this is your son Esau. I've got the savory meat. Oh, he said, I just gave the blessing then to your brother. Oh, I want to tell you, the scene of that place was one of grief. Esau wept. He was very sorry now that he has sold his birthright. It doesn't say that, but I'm sure he's thinking of it because he said, he has supplanted me twice now. He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing. And he cried unto Jacob and to Isaac and he said, is there not one blessing for me? So I'm going to give you that blessing that was bestowed upon Esau. His father pronounced a blessing. And part of that blessing is what I want to share with you today. He said, thou shalt serve thy brother, and it shall come to pass when thou shalt have dominion or control. Doesn't say what he has dominion or control of, because there is a comma. It's just dominion or control. When thou shalt have dominion, thou shalt break his yoke from off thy neck. Now, did that mean anything to him at that time? Probably not. But it came back to him, reading between the lines. It had to have come back to Esau. After this, Esau said he hated his brother and he planned to kill him. Rebekah heard that also. She also made a plan for her son to escape, her favored son to escape. So she went to her husband and she said, I am so sick of these Canaanite women. I do not want Jacob to marry one of these Canaanite women. I want him to go back to my father's people. And so that was the plan. She saved her son. but she also lost him for 20 years. She said to her son, well, your brother is appeased in his anger, we'll send for you. Well, that didn't happen right away. And things even changed for Jacob. In reality, we do not know a whole lot about Esau from that point until 20 years later. I believe there was one point that was good. When you considered Esau being a man that was independent, he was rebellious to some degree, for he did get a wife or wives from the Canaanite women. But there's something that happened. We go for a 20-year period. The scriptures, even in the New Testament, gives us something about Esau. And I think sometimes we have judged him a little bit harshly. The New Testament called him profane. This is Hebrews 12 and 16. It said that he was profane because he sold his birthright for just a morsel of meat. He didn't count it valuable. That is true. It was a very unwise decision. He was living for the moment. He was not living for the future. And that was the type of man he was. He lived for the moment. So, as the future came and he lost both his birthright and his blessing, and yet it was spoken of his father that if he had dominion, if he had control, what do you think he's talking about? Esau is full of hatred. He's full of resentment. He's full of bitterness and unforgiveness. Are those things not things that control? His father said, it will break the yoke of around your neck. You know what a yoke is? A yoke is something that is meant for animals in order to control them, to do a work. He had a yoke around his neck, and it was a yoke of resentment and bitterness and hatred and unforgiveness. Anyone today that is living with any of those things, they're under bondage. This was a yoke of bondage to Esau. It colored everything he did. It colored everything he thought. It caused him to be the kind of man that he was. And yet his father said, when this is controlled, the yoke will be broken off of your neck. You will be released. So, there's evidence that Esau was free. In that 20 years, I wonder what story he could have told. What might have happened to him? I want to give you a little bit of the evidence of the change in Esau. This is taken from Genesis 28, 6 and 9, and I'm just going to paraphrase for it for the sake of time. Esau saw that Isaac blessed Jacob, and he sent him away to take him a wife. And he gave him a charge to not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Jacob obeyed his father and his mother. Esau, seeing the daughters of Canaan, pleased not his father. He saw something. It began to work in his mind. And this is what he did. He went to Ishmael, Abraham's son, and he took a granddaughter of Abraham, a great-granddaughter of Abraham, to be his wife. It doesn't say that that act pleased his father, but there is a big chance that it did, because he was of Abraham's seed. So I see a change a little bit in Esau now. He's moved toward something that would please his father. The next evidence is in the 33rd chapter of Genesis. It's taken from verses 8 through 10. The scene that this is speaking of is 20 years later. It is Jacob is coming back home. They don't have telephones. I don't know that they had a way to send a message. I'm coming home. I want to see my brother. So Jacob takes some of his servants and he sends them ahead to tell Esau that he's coming home. And when he does this, and this is part of of Jacob's character change. He changed also. He sent a gift. He sent three, what's the word there in that chapter? It's droves. I don't know how many a drove is, but it was three different kinds of animals. That was his gift to his brother. He wanted to appease him, and we want to read that scripture also. So here we have Jacob coming to meet his brother, and Esau is now coming, and how many men did he have with him? 400. So when he comes, this is what he said. Esau said, "What meanest thou by all these three droves," or animal gifts? And Jacob said, "These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord," and then "my brother. I'm wanting to make peace with you," is what he's trying to say. Now, this is the next sentence is what shows the change in Esau. Because Esau said, "I have enough. I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself." Do you see the change? Do you see that he's no longer greedy? He's no longer looking just out for number one. Both of these brothers were greedy. There was a change in Esau, a change in his attitude. "No, brother, I don't need those things. I have enough stuff myself. So you keep it." So now it's 20 years and Esau has been released from the yoke of bondage, of hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness. And then, scripture that I want us to turn and read also. It is so touching. It just about makes me cry when I read this. Let me find the scripture. Chapter 33. We're going to start at verse 1. We're going to read verses 3 and 4. And it says that Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came with 400 men. The next verse says, and Jacob, look at the change in Jacob. He bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And then look at Esau. Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Do you believe that that yoke of bondage was broken in his life? How could he have had this reaction? In the 20 years, whatever God put in his life helped him to come to that place that he had control over his own passions. And he had forgiveness. And he embraced his brother. Jacob did not know that Esau would forgive him. And that's why he came in humility. He was seeking for forgiveness. I love that part. We said in the beginning that all of these things are written for our learning, and that these examples are to admonish us and instruct us. These things are common to life. We can meet situations in life where we too may be hurt. We may feel cheated. We may feel tricked. And we may feel we don't deserve what we got. And there may be seeds of bitterness and unforgiveness. And it'll become a yoke to us. And it'll be bondage. And you and I can glean something from this morning. If we're not in those places right now, some of these young people are still growing. They're still growing up. They haven't met all of the storms of life. We call them storms of life. You haven't met all of the things that could come and affect you. But these things are written so that you and I can learn something, and that we can be instructed, and that we don't have to be under the bondage of hatred and bitterness and unforgiveness. Oh, I want to tell you, anyone that carries that yoke of unforgiveness, they're the one that loses. Oh, they're the ones that suffer the most. Others suffer because the scripture says that having a root of bitterness springing up, many will be defiled. So what's in my life can affect others. But I love this part. I think Esau found deliverance in those 20 years. And we seldom think about this scene right here, that he ran towards his brother. Now, if he still hated him, do you think he would have run towards him? Do you think he would have fell on his neck and wept and kissed him? No, it was gone. He had dominion over that yoke of bondage. Thank the Lord. And you and I, by the help of the Lord, can have dominion over any yoke that the enemy would try to put in our life or on our neck. Thank the Lord. So those are the evidences that we wanted to present in Esau's favor, that he had changed. But now we want to talk about Jacob's life just a little bit in closing. There's more told to us in the Word about Jacob's life. He was a man that He was a man that deserved what he got. That sounds ugly, but it's the truth. Because what happened in the 20 years, he had a father-in-law that tricked him. He had to work 14 years for his two wives. The scripture says he worked 6 years for his cattle. And in that 20 years, his father-in-law changed his wages 10 times. So he experienced something. Would you say that he reaped something? He did. He was reaping what he had sown. Is there a little gleaning that you and I can get out of that? I want to tell you, we all need to stop and think about what we are sowing, because we will reap what we sow. It's the very law of God, the same as the law of nature, that what you plant, that's what you'll get, and it will be 100-fold. And we need to remember this. This is written for our learning. This is written for our instructions. Even if we think we're real good, maybe we don't even intend to hurt someone, but we do. But I want to tell you, God knows how to break the bondages of all of this too. The yoke of it. So, reaping, this is what reaping can do for us. We said that he was changed in the 20 years he was gone. Reaping can change us if we land it. I had to put that in there, if we land it. Because some people will just let reaping build, and they will get harder, and they will think, I don't deserve this. And they'll blame the person that they may have wronged. But if you will land it, when you come to a reaping in your life, it will help you. It will help me. Reaping can humble us. Reaping can help us to understand the wrong that we have done. Reaping can help us to understand how the other person felt. Think about that. Reaping can help you and me come to repentance. And that's what it did for Jacob. It brought him to a place of repentance and reconciliation. So reaping can even bring us to reconciliation. So as Jacob came near, and they had not had any communication for 20 years, and he was totally unsure, and he was fearful. He did not know how his brother would react to him. In Genesis 32 and 20, Jacob said, I will appease him with the present, and afterwards I will see his face. Peradventure, he will accept me. So the present went before him. You know what? There's something we can glean from that. What do you think it is that you can glean from or learn or be instructed from the New Testament? Is it not meat for repentance? He was sending forth a gift. You know, if we're lost today, if we're away from God, we've just spoken of some that have just come back to the Lord before they died, and they began to make amends for their life. They began to call people and ask their forgiveness. We told that maybe just a couple of Sundays ago. And that's called fruit. Meat for repentance. That's to prove I really mean this. And it was the same with Jacob. He sent this gift because he wanted his brother Esau to know, I really mean it. I'm sorry. I want to see your face. I want you to accept me. After Jacob did send this gift, and he took care of all of his family. And incidentally, you can read all of that and find where he was still prejudiced. in his own family. He put his favored wife and his favored child clear at the back. And then he put the next wife and her sons in the next position, and then he put the handmaids in the front. So he was still struggling with this thing that had affected him in his life, partiality. There's something we can glean from that. Oh, to be partial with your family is so wrong. Amen. It is so hard for the child that feels unloved. I had it. I had that in my life. And it took many years for the Lord to break the yoke of that off of me. I don't think parents really mean to do it. But the unwise words and the unwise actions can just simply affect a child. And it can separate families. So that's what we need to glean out of this story. Because it's ongoing. That part is ongoing. So now we have Jacob left alone. And this is the part I'm going to read now. It's the 32nd chapter. We're going to read verses 25 through 31, Lord willing. And I want to say I love this part. I get good out of this just about every time I read it. And I think there's something that all of us here today can glean and learn and be instructed. And when he saw Jacob, when he saw, he prevailed not. He's wrestling. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, have you ever wrestled? You guys, you probably know what it is to wrestle. Sometimes we do arm wrestling, and we want to try to get that one to come down or cry uncle or whatever they say. And you don't want to give in until you win. And that's what we have to do with God. Whatever your place is in life, you can learn how to wrestle with God and get blessed. Now let's read it. So he's wrestling till the break of dawn, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, the angel touched his thigh or his hip. One translation says his hip was out of joint. And it says, and he said, Jacob said, the angel said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And Jacob said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And I just love that part. We all need that. You need to glean something from this morning. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? Oh, what a blessing this is. And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Oh, thank the Lord. Are you prevailing this morning? Let's be prevailing. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. What was he wrestling with? Why was he wanting a blessing? You would think, well, he's already sent forth his gift. That should give him confidence that it would touch my heart, my brother's heart. He was wrestling with guilt. He knew he was guilty. He had stolen from his brother those things that meant so much to a firstborn. He was wrestling, I'm sure, with fear. Fear of whether his brother would really forgive him. I think he was wrestling also because he wanted forgiveness of his brother. And I believe he wanted to live among his people again. And he was wrestling with that. There is a scripture that's in Hosea 12 and 4 that speaks about this very scene right here, and I want to give it to you this morning. It says, "Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed." Speaking of Jacob, he wept and made supplication unto him. Do you see Jacob as really weeping and crying and travailing? Did you know your tears count for something when you come before the Lord? And you're really needing a blessing. Do you ever go before the Lord just yearning for a blessing? And sometimes it's only tears that will come. Tears are very important before the Lord. I believe it. It is a cry from the heart. And that's how he was. He wept. And he made supplication unto him. The Lord is his memorial. Wait on God continually. We all are going to have places. And this is what we need to learn out of this. This is what we need to be taught. And what we need to glean. Expect places in your life where you're going to have to travail. And you're going to have to hold on until the blessing comes. And when it comes, sometimes it changes our name. It changes who we are. The scripture tells us about being in a closet. And he would reward us. And it also tells about the disciples. And how that those religious Jews, when they had them before them, questioning them and trying to say, "Don't you preach in their name?" They took note of one thing. What did they say? They took note that they had been with Jesus. That's the changes that will come in your life and mine when we are travailing before the Lord for a blessing, and others will begin to see they got their blessing. They've been in travail before the Lord, and they made it. Thank the Lord. I will not let thee go unless thou blessest. Bless me. Did you know that it to me, it's very clear that God is pleased when we are willing to travail for a blessing. So I guess the one question I'm going to give you now is, what do you need from the Lord today? There's enough of us here to know that as common as things are in our lives, that we need a blessing. That we're needing, have you ever, and I do this, I did it last night, I was needing a blessing. And I was on my knees weeping. And you know what I say? I've told you this before. Lord, I wish you were sitting in this chair over here and you could talk to me like a man and you could just tell me everything that's... You feel that way sometimes? Oh, how wonderful it would be if it was that way. But he's telling you and me, you walk by faith and you trust me and you seek after me with your whole heart and I will bless you. Thank the Lord. So all of these things this morning has been written for our learning. And all of these examples are written to give us instructions. And what the Spirit of the Lord is saying now, don't let it go through one ear and out the other. Take it home with you. Travail before the Lord. Wrestle with Him. How badly do you want your blessing? Don't want to put anybody under bondage this morning, but is 15 minutes long enough to wrestle and win? Wrestle until you get it. If that's 15 minutes, that's fine. But don't give up. Wrestle until you get the blessing. Pray for me.